Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. More than 7 million people signed up for health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act before last week's open enrollment period ended, and we'll soon learn about the demographic breakdown of the people who enrolled. Millions more will be covered in states that expanded Medicaid for low-income adults who are uninsured. Governor Pat McCrory and legislative leaders decided not to expand Medicaid in North Carolina, leaving 500,000 people without coverage that the federal government would have fully funded for 3 years and picked up the tab for 90% of the cost after that. Doug Dickerson with AARP North Carolina says state leaders should rethink that decision that would help seniors in the state. Dickerson joins us now to talk about it and to discuss what lawmakers can do to help people get ready for retirement. Well, thank you very much for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Glad to be here.
We usually ask you about things that you want to happen in the North Carolina General Assembly, and I want to get to some of that in 2014, but also talk about your broader priorities. And I know one of them is what happens to retirement, Social Security, what happens when folks actually hit that retirement age.
That's right. You know, when we think about retirement, many times we think, hey, it's going to happen one of these days, and that'll be the golden years, the good life. But increasingly, polls show and people are telling us that they're not ready for retirement, and on top of it, they're not even going to be sure they make it to retirement. So that's something that tops our priorities of helping people prepare for retirement, have that type of retirement security, make sure that health care will be there when they need it, and then lastly, that they'll have the financial means to live the life that they want to live and to retire on their own terms.
What's the biggest challenge, do you think, in getting people to actually plan for retirement in this current environment? Is it that they're having enough trouble making ends meet without thinking about putting money away, or is it just that they forget about it?
Well, it's a matter of prioritization. You know, we tend to think that we'll be able to do that later. There will be time later. Well, time creeps up in all of us. The one thing that never stops is the clock. And when that never stops, and if we're not preparing for retirement by putting money away, then we're going to be, faced with far fewer options later on and probably live a life that is something that we're not looking forward to.
There's been a lot of talk in Washington recently about Social Security, how to preserve it, whether or not to cut it, whether the chain CPI people have probably heard about. Where do you think we are in terms of a commitment to continue Social Security, continue COLA increases for folks who need them?
For about one-third of North Carolinians that are on Social Security, it accounts for almost all of their income, over 90%. And for about half that are on Social Security, it represents at least three-fourths of their income. So the point there is as people get over age 65 and they're in that retirement mode, they need Social Security in order to just keep on keeping on. Now, what is Washington's role in that? That's another issue that needs to have a real long nationwide conversation, not just talk about it in the sense of, hey, the debt or the deficit. Social Security is not a part of the debt. It's not a part of the deficit. There needs to be a separate conversation about that. Now, in terms of COLAs, we're not talking about Pepsi and Coke. We're talking about cost of living adjustments that are made each year to account for inflation. You know, Congress wisely figured out, and the president has dropped his proposal to change to a formula that is considerably more restrictive. And they dropped that proposal, realizing that it just wasn't realistic to what people are actually paying for and seeing price increases. So we're with a formula that we've had for many years, and that formula has worked well. What we're hoping, though, is Congress will be able to take a longer conversation about making Social Security good for the next 75 years instead of just good for the next 20, 25 years. Now, here in North Carolina, this legislature this year is going to deal with relatively few issues, but come the elections in November and then in January when the legislature comes back, that's when we're hoping North Carolina will say, hey, the solutions aren't going to come from Washington. Let's make the solutions here. Let's create some retirement security for North Carolinians. We know, for example, if you're in a work environment, your employer probably provides you a 401k plan and not very likely provides a pension plan. But actually, 40% of workers in North Carolina do not even have a retirement program through their employer. 40%. And those are really small businesses, people that are in service industries. And you think about a person that works at a restaurant. Do they have the means of saving through a 401k at their company? And the answer in most cases is no. So we want to work with the legislature to create a program in North Carolina, kind of like a college savings 529 type program or an auto IRA that would allow people like that to contribute through a workplace retirement program.
You mentioned healthcare, and I guess there's a, obviously that's a, we could talk forever just about the needs there and the changes that are coming. Let's start with Medicare. What's important for policymakers to know about Medicare?
Well, Medicare, you know, is taking care of the single biggest expense that people over 65 face, which is, you know, managing their conditions and extending their life. Now, the good news is the Affordable Care Act, when it came into law, and, you know, about 4 years ago, that extended Medicare solvency by 7 years. So thank goodness for Obamacare, because Medicare is now 7 years, it will live for 7 years longer. Now, Medicare does need to have some changes to it. I think we all recognize that, because even though Medicare has got the good financial means for the next, until about 2023, 2024, other types of changes will be necessary. And that's where, again, we need to have a conversation across the country about what kinds of changes make sense. There are some really good things that are happening, stimulated by the Affordable Care Act, that will cause Medicare to even, you know, to have some savings that will be good for the patient, create better health outcomes for them, as well as save the overall cost. Now, if you're not yet eligible for Medicare, which, you know, many, probably 2/3 of the people out there are not, they're thinking, well, what does that mean for me? Well, if Medicare's costs get under control, better under control, then that has the same type of effect over health plans that your employer will be providing. It's important to note, though, that the way that we get health care today, paid for today, and most people who have it through their company, that is likely going to be changing over the next 5 to 10 years. More and more companies are saying that they're going to not provide health care actual coverage, but instead they're going to give a check to you that says, here is the money that you need to go out and buy. And then that check, that voucher, is what companies will say, that's how we're going to control our costs, is by giving a flat amount each year. 40% of chief financial officers in North Carolina companies surveyed by the North Carolina Chamber last year said that they plan to go in that direction within the next 3 to 4 years.
A lot of people get Medicare and Medicaid confused. Medicaid, obviously, historically has primarily provided health care for people of certain income categories, but a lot of states have expanded that under the Affordable Care Act, and a lot of seniors actually get help through Medicaid as well as Medicare. Sort of given all that, how important is it that we keep discussing whether or not to expand Medicaid in North Carolina?
Well, the fact is those health care costs have been rising over the previous decade of around 6 to 7%. Since the ACA came in, it's been reduced to slightly under 4%. So that's a good thing. But it's also contingent on bringing everybody into the insured, the health care insurance pool, so that risk is moved across. Not to sound too wonky or anything, but if you have a good part of the population who is not paying into a system and is not contributing into a system, then others are having to bear those costs. And by 1.5 million North Carolinians without health insurance, because they're currently not eligible for Medicaid, because the legislature and the governor have not expanded legislature like the federal law allows them, then those 1.5 million people are going to be taking advantage of the healthcare system without necessarily paying the full cost. And those costs are then shifted over to, you know, the rest of the population to pay. So if we want to keep that type of system and keep those of us that have health insurance, if we want to keep paying extra, then legislature, don't make a single change. But if the rest of us want to have our health care insurance go a little bit lower, or to kind of be moderated in the future so it's not growing at such a fast pace, then let's get everybody in and let's put the Medicaid expansion out there. And then at the same time, recognize that now you're going to have 1.5 million people in the state that are going to be getting coverage, and you're likely going to have better health outcomes, because now more people, you know, are getting care earlier in the process rather than more expensive care in emergency rooms or when their conditions become so chronic.
Well, it's great information as always. Thanks for what you're doing at AARP, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Chris. Glad to be here.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.